Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Guaranteed Rate Field will not be the home to Manny Machado this year.
I'm staggered by it.
For a second, I thought I was dead.
Rick Hahn, he will try to explain what happened with the failed pursuit of Manny Machado, and here's Rick Hahn on The Score.
This will come as no great shock, but at, 2 in the morning when I couldn't sleep and I was messing around on my phone, and I started to have a little cynicism. See again in terms of our chances, and this morning when I was out for my run, that cynicism grew a little bit, and that cynicism proved to be foresight.
The Southpaw, our pal Dan Plesac is with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good afternoon, Sac. What's going on, bud?
Probably as stunned as everybody in the city of Chicago.
John in Woodridge, thanks for calling. You're on The Score.
I'm doing pretty lousy. Thank you.
Oh,
no. What happened?
I'm thinking about changing my fandom to the Cubs. This is just another disappointment in the 43 years of being a White Sox fan.
He's in the desert. He was there when Rick Hahn was meeting the media. He is our guy. He is Bruce Levine. What's up, Bruce?
I think the White Sox officials gave it their best shot. Wasn't good enough.
I'm doing my best, Frank.
Best.
What do you think? We're in the haberdashery business.
Ted, you're on The Score.
Yep, I'm a White Sox fan in Texas. Guys, I was at my psychiatrist when this went down, so he took care of me. Here's what I want to say, though.
How did your psychiatrist counsel you today as a Sox fan?
He just gave me medication.
That'll fix it.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
The worst day of many White Sox fans' lives.
Yeah, said many White Sox fans over the years, over much less of a reason to be upset than yesterday. Look, I'm disappointed for you if you had your bar set that high where anything shy of getting Machado was going to be colossally disappointing for you. But some of the things I've been listening to in some of the posts I've read, tweets, all that stuff, it's disproportionate. It truly is. To listen to grown men talk about changing their allegiance over this. I get it. You're disappointed. I get it. You've had one playoff team since the 05 champs. I get that. I'm part of that. But stop already. Get a grip on yourself. Life goes on. There will be White Sox baseball without Machado this year.
Of course there will be, and they'll win 76 games. But remember also, feedback inherently skews negative, right? You don't call your cable company to say, hey, the HD's working great. So generally, the feedback that you're going to get on a text line, on the internet, calling into a radio show, it's going to skew more negative than positive.
I understand that, but some of the stuff, Danny, I didn't see it coming that hard. I really didn't.
Really? I see.
No.
I think that the reason I think that they did is because for so long they didn't believe they had a shot at him. And then they became the gambling favorites for him, and then the Rawling stuff, and then no one else was pursuing him.
Disappointment, but can you call it a step in the right direction, albeit a baby step? I can.
Okay.
I can feel while not overwhelmed by what they offered to him. I'm not embarrassed by it. They shouldn't be embarrassed by it. As Rick Hahn said yesterday, there were elements of the White Sox offer that made it a more attractive offer. It wasn't flat out better or he'd be here.
Right, but isn't it binary? You either get him or you don't.
I guess. Well, if you want to play that game, there's 28 teams in baseball that didn't accomplish what the White Sox did because they didn't even show up.
Okay, other teams made off. I mean, the Yankees are made an offer. The Phillies were talking, but yes, absolutely. But did the other teams need Manny Machado as much as the White Sox seem to need him?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of teams in baseball that would benefit. I can't think of anybody that wouldn't be a better baseball team immediately if he were a part of it, right?
Was anyone nearly as vocal or outspoken, kind of like the Sox were at Sox Fest, when it seems like that's when the Vegas odds really took off for the Sox to be the favorite? Was anyone quite like that in the rest of baseball?
No, probably not.
San Diego wasn't until
San Diego wasn't. Yankees fans, Phillies fans, they were the ones who were thinking big.
I think that's what it was. I think it was that the White Sox never get a guy like this, so I'm not going to get my hopes up. And then they were very public about it and very just loud about it. You knew when they were meeting with him. You knew what the plan was. You knew they were also going after Bryce Harper.
And, you know, to his credit, Han took some blame for that yesterday. Too much got out.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the frustration and the heartbreak. I don't believe ever when people are like, "Oh, I'm done with this team. I'm changing my alliances." I don't believe that.
It sounded pretty serious to me yesterday.
I know, but it's reactionary. It's the throes of passion. It's the immediate heartbreak.
It's Yank time. It's Yank. You're Yankiness.
It's just what people say when they get mad. It's empty words. It's anger. Like when you say something in a fight with your wife because you're angry in that moment, you don't really mean it. You walk it back. My guess is 48 hours from now, that guy John would call back and say, "I'm still a White Sox fan."
I think it would be pretty extreme in an argument with the wife to say, "You know what? I've had enough. 43 years of this. I'm going to my high school sweetheart.
Sure.
I'm gonna go find her because you have disappointed me. I didn't get the Christmas gift I wanted from you, sweetie, so I am switching allegiances. You are off my to-do list."
But so you think it's a reason to be disappointed, it's just not a reason to be that disappointed?
Yes, I think it's disproportionate for a grown man to change allegiances.
Well, yeah,
if you're 12, I understand it.
When's the cutoff then? Like,
I
what age
know.
Is
get a
adulthood?
Driver's license.
Let's
go with that. A majority age. When you turn 18, you forfeit your right to switch allegiances.
You can vote, but you can no longer switch allegiances for your favorite team.
I just don't take any of that stuff seriously. Like, I just take that with a grain of salt I'm mad in the moment.
Well, I also have been listening to it for more than 30 years, beginning in the June of 88 when they were threatening to go to Tampa and a building was built for them and they kind of held the Illinois General Assembly hostage.
Yeah.
And at the 11th hour, Senator William Maravich got the Illinois Sports Authority passed, and they stayed, and they built the stadium for them. And it's been a moneymaker for the state of Illinois. People still want to. There were guys yesterday saying, "Look what they do to Taxpayer Park, and they've done this, and they've done that, and they that's made money for the state. How many things in this town have?" Not enough.
Sure, you're right. Not enough. Bob Nightingale, who's plugged into the White Sox, says, "The White Sox, who are out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes, still plan to make smaller improvements to the team after Manny Machado chose the Padres. Versatile infielders Marwin Gonzalez and Josh Harrison, along with starter Gio Gonzalez, are still on the free agent board." That's where the disappointment comes in. You go from Manny Machado, a 26-year-old, 35-home-run dude, to Marwin Gonzalez? It's a big drop-off.
Of course it is. Anything other than Machado and Harper was a colossal drop-off.
So I've used
colossal twice in this segment. I've reached my quota.
Okay.
That's enough of that.
We'll hold you to that.
Okay.
I think that's what it is, though. I think it's just, damn, we actually thought we had a shot at this one. The biggest signing in franchise history.
And it's the first time you had that thought, based on their history.
Right, so you got teased.
Well, yeah, you could call it that, but at least your organization showed up with $250 million.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
And he had taken the $250 million. Where would that rank in baseball history? Two?
No,
three?
A-Rod did 252.
A-Rod and Pujols, right?
Stanton. It would have been certainly top 10, top six.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been great. But they showed up for something that cost $300 million with $250.
Yeah. I also get, if the White Sox had reservations over his so-called character issues, and I don't know if what he's done would merit that, I don't have a problem. If you're going to make a guy the richest player in your sport's history, I would feel better about it if he weren't a selfish bag.
But they didn't have reservations about it. They offered him $250 million.
But maybe that was the difference in $250 and $300. Why would I give this guy $300 million? $250 is where I draw the line. He could be Sean Alexander in double nits. When the Seahawks made Sean Alexander the wealthiest player in the NFL because of a great year, he fell off the planet.
Sure, yeah, it's possible. I'd be surprised, given that the White Sox don't have that many contracts like that to go around, right? Not many teams can afford big-time, multiple $25, $30 million a year players. So I'd be surprised. They loved Machado. They should love Manny Machado. He's a six-win player. He's a 26-year-old free agent who rakes and plays the left side of the infield. He's a valuable superstar. And yeah, absolutely. Some White Sox fans are making the argument of, hey, he's not worth it. I'm glad they didn't get him. I just think that Rick Hahn thinks that he was worth it.
Yeah,
or else he wouldn't have offered him the deal.
I would say that probably guesstimating on replies I've had to tweaking Sox fans a little bit this morning, maybe 30 to 35% express they are more than cool with this, or a variation of that maybe another percentage. I'm disappointed, but we move on. I'm not switching allegiances. And then there are other people telling me that, hey, aren't you about due to go face down in a big pile of Norco and not show up for 6 weeks and say, yeah, keep them coming.
Yeah, that's the internet.
Keep them coming.
Well, welcome to the internet.
Yes, I am due, by the way. Way overdue, actually,
no,
if you look at
great.
The history.
Stay strong. You're doing
Jeff, what was it, about 16 months between rehabs, something like that?
Was it that few? I thought it was longer than that.
No, it wasn't long.
It was October, and what was the other one?
February of 12, was it? And then again in November 13.
Okay, I knew it was fall.
Yeah.
Well, I bet the over in the office pool of 18 months, so just so you know.
Good. Good to know you have confidence.
Something could happen. Not anything will happen.
And I knew the day I came back the first time, I'm always going to be on that board. I'm always going to have odds. I'm a suspect. When you're a suspect, you have to wear it.
Some
and here I
statistic.
Am today, still in the ring, still ahead on punches, and enjoying Tanny's new system today. We hear all that crackle music at the top of the hour right after I sell the FM frequency. Yeah, sounds great, Mac.
That came across crystal clear in FM. That's what people don't know. It sounded great. But, Mac, I think you're actually that's why some of the White Sox fans and a big percentage of them are disappointed. Because, A, I think that 25-30% that you're talking about, they're like, it's okay that we didn't get them. I think a huge percentage of those people, if they would have gotten him, would have been pumped. I think they're telling themselves that.
Probably.
Right, as a coping mechanism. And then, just like you're saying, I've earned the skepticism because of the history. White Sox fans feel the same way. They earn the skepticism of they'll never get there. So we
they,
got
no, 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 they haven't. They
we
have
got
never
closer
been in
to
this,
guy.
No. Yes, they did. They got closer to anybody. They got in the same area code as the highest bidder. They haven't been there before.
Right, but what does close get you?
It. What I'm saying is it's a different type of pain. It's a graduation in levels of discomfort, isn't it?
Yeah, but is it better? Is it a better pain?
Yes, you're getting closer. Your organization just proved they were willing to spend $250 million, which would have made him among the top 10 players in baseball history with salary.
Yeah.
That's a step in the right direction. A willingness to overspend on a team that even with that kind of a superstar is going to sell fewer than 2 million tickets this year.
To be honest, I don't think the attendance thing really matters in 2019. Baseball attendance dipped under 70 million for the first time in 15 years last year.
But
they
make
way more than they do from television and their BAM media and all of those other things. Attendance is a smaller piece of the baseball revenue than it's ever been before.
All right, I accept that. It's still a White Sox problem, not historically, but for many, many years, it's
sure.
a White Sox problem, and it's a problem that's not going away, and it's illuminated when bad news arrives, because here they come, out to amend the book. Why I Won't Go to White Sox Games, Chapter 706.
I'm with you. There's a new evidence or chapter or example or excuse all of the time. I get it.
31 years of it, dude. Almost as long as you've been alive, I've been listening to this stuff.
Well, sorry.
Most dysfunctional fan base in town, and there's no one close.
Didn't you quit the White Sox as a fan? Because now you call yourself a bad White Sox fan. And you did that way after you were 16.
Right. Yeah, I have a I still have that license to say White Sox fan because I buy tickets a half a dozen times a year.
And you don't show up to the seventh inning once in those six times either.
But I do my part while I'm there in those six innings.
That's right.
I buy sausages. I love onions. You got to really work for those onions on Dollar Dog Night, though. You got to really comb
gotta
the park.
Get there in line.
Yeah, make some more onions. Grill me up some onions. This is the big onion, or the little onion. That's what Chicago means.
The little onion.
Is it the little onion or the big onion?
I thought it was the wild onion.
It might be the wild. It might be the wild little onion.
The little wild onion. My kind of town, Chicago.
Like ogres, onions have layers.
This hour on The Score brought to you by the Chicago Golf Show, featuring special guest Robbie Gould. For tickets, go to chicagogolfshow.com. Sox fans, if you want to defend yourself, Max, I don't know what Max angry with you. He's angry with some of you.
A fraction of them. Yeah. Those wanting to change uniforms, go. Just go and stop representing the fan base that does exist that truly has a grip on some things.
Okay. That's where we are, and your ode to Machado coming up on The Score.
We knew we had a shot from here, and you know, it's unfortunate he didn't come here because, you know, we would obviously welcome a player like him here, but, you know, he made his decision. I'm happy for him as a friend. Obviously, selfishly, I wanted him here as a player because we know what type of player he is, but, you know, now we can turn the page, and it's time, you know, we have our team here. Obviously, additions can still be made, but, you know, I'm happy with where our roster is right now, and, you know, guys are here in camp, and guys are competing, and this is what the Chicago White Sox baseball is going to be.
Friend of Machado, John Jay. He is a member of the White Sox. Yeah.
Free
boo.
John Jay.
We're booing John Jay this
no,
year.
No,
as
no.
As a reminder of Manny Machado.
You think they'll boo John Jay on opening day?
Shane put it perfect, though, for Sox fans. Like, it feels like when Machado signed with the Padres that John Jay is the sweater that your girlfriend left after breaking up with you. Like, you come get your sweater. I don't need your sweater sitting around the apartment anymore.
Yeah, it's gonna be a reminder of what you didn't get and what you couldn't have.
I'm just teasing you. Don't get mad.
I'm not mad. You're okay. Just an ass.
I am.
Yeah.
Sure.
You
I
take
am.
It proudly. That's okay.
Yeah. Just was an interesting comment. A question you asked yesterday.
I'm glad you found it interesting.
They had company.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's good.
I don't think they'll boo him on opening
no,
day.
No, neither do I. I just asked the question.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Asked and answered.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do it at 4 o'clock.
I'm good. Let's hear the Max song. He made a parody song for Manny Machado. Oh, we got a second with the... Okay, my bad. We're waiting for the system to refresh.
With the new system, this will be in mono.
Oh, good. Looking forward to Max's song.
Machado.
On Manny Machado.
Yep, the record will skip along the way.
We will get to it. What's it to?
It's just a quick hook from an Eagles song, Desperado. Kind of set up. It kind of rhymed. And weird thing is the Eagles are on my brain for the Scorehouse parody I'm doing on our week in Arizona with our midday teammates and for a couple days with Mully and Haw.
Yeah.
That's also an Eagles vibe. Because I think Eagles when I think Arizona. Especially if they reference a town in Arizona in one of their songs.
I think Black Widow snakes, personally. But here is the ode to Manny Machado.
Very melancholy. It's not a happy day. Tuesday, sadness. When $250 million is not enough.
Hey, Machado, why'd you take leave of your senses? Hitting balls over fences. The Sox in fourth place.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Well done. Thanks. Well done.
It's really about all the Eagles we need, right?
Yeah, sure.
Not an Eagles guy, Nick?
Nah, not too deep on the Eagles.
No, I'm not an over-the-top fan. I like their early stuff when they were more of a country band. I know they were more successful with Hotel California, one of the top five selling albums of all time. It just wasn't my flavor. I like their more soulful, countryer sounding stuff.
Like, Take It Easy always does it for me because I think of Mitch giving us our... the now infamous pep talk before Packers week in January of 2011. So, like, that always hits a soft spot with me. But outside of that, you can kind of have the rest.
If you like Take It Easy, you will like the song I'm working on for camp.
All right.
Because I'm leaving that lyric as is. It's too perfect. There's no reason to mess with it.
I just know of the dude, Jeffrey Lebowski.
He hates the Eagles. Nothing from the Eagles.
I've had a rough day, man, and I hate the effing Eagles. Carl in Bellwood's on the score.
Hey, Danny. You know, I'm like you. I'm an old-time White Sox fan, but I'm older than you. I'm 72 years old. I'll never change allegiance. Yeah, I was a little upset that we didn't get Manny, but you know what? I'm looking forward to the young kids developing. Maybe in a year or so, they sign a veteran ball player or here and there, and they get two or three of these players. And in a couple of years, we could be a contender. I don't know why everybody is really complaining, because they really gave it a good shot. And I'll tell you what, do you agree with me that the greatest signing the Sox ever signed was a real pro catcher named Carlton Fisk? That's the kind of guy that we need in our organization, a real team leader like Fisk or Pauly Konerko. What do you think?
I think Carlton Fisk was a great baseball player, every bit what Cooperstown is all about, who was one of the most selfish, surly sons of bitches who ever wore a White Sox uniform.
That sounds right. You take those surly SOBs.
Goes back to what Plesak said about having bags in the clubhouse, and that was a big signing at the time. It kind of put the Sox on the map with the new ownership, and sadly, you know, over 30 years later, I think they may need something similar like that to happen again for another reboot.
It's such an individual sport. It's allowed. It's okay to march to the beat of your own drum as long as you hit and as long as you play. But the word leader was slapped on Carlton Fisk, and he led by example, but he clearly didn't lead by his words, and he would stay at the ballpark late at night to work out, but man, the next day he wouldn't stretch with his teammates. He'd go off on his own and not participate with that. Wouldn't be real interactive with younger players. That's not a leader. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great player. But as a leader, he lacked. And this not my opinion. This coming from guys who were in that clubhouse with him, a handful of them, half a dozen of them.
Yeah, the leadership thing is one thing, but you always take, especially in baseball to me, because it's such a different type of clubhouse, and there's 25 guys, and there's language barriers, and not everyone is friends, and not everyone has to be friends. I take talent over chemistry right. In baseball all the time.
In baseball, I would too. I think the reason I was so charged about Machado when the conversation began in earnest with the White Sox part of it, we're right smack dab in the middle of football season, and that's the mentality I got, and that's not what baseball is about.
Because you didn't want Machado, and then you wanted Machado, and now that they didn't get Machado, people aren't, you know what I mean? Like, it's tough, because I think that what happened with the Sox is people said, this could be the best player we have. He'd be the best player on the team, you know, and one of the best in the sport. And they had a shot at him, and they never thought they were going to have a shot at him. And then they had it taken away from him. And that's where the anger comes in, because it would accelerate so much. It would make up for Kopech having Tommy John or Jake Berger blowing out an Achilles. It'd be like, okay. But we got a guy who's going to hit 35 and 100.
It clearly would have been backing your play and showing that you have all the faith in the world in your farm system and Yoan Moncada and everybody else who is supposed to be a part of greatness. When they get to that next, it would have accelerated it. But they weren't willing to back it another $50
million. That is correct.
Yeah.
$50 million.
$300 million to play in San Diego. Not a bad life.
Yeah. We'll go 250, but 300's out of the question.
It's out of the question. That's a cap that wasn't, and then one said it was, one said it wasn't.
It's a world I can't get my head around, where it just seems like, well, if you're going 250, but it's still a lot of money. $50 million always is going to be missed once removed.
And 10 years instead of 8.
Right.
You know, so that's part of what it was for them, too. It was, we didn't want to guarantee the extra 2 years and guarantee the extra $50 million. And again, Rick Hahn will be on with Lawrence Holmes tonight at 6:05. We've got True Detective Tuesday coming up in less than an hour. Can't do it at 4. Spiegs will be on after Can't Do It. But this was a big miss in free agency, talking of big misses through trades as well, in honor of a famous Chicago birthday coming up on The Score.
Nirvana defined a moment, a movement for outsiders, for the and the fat girls and the broken toys and the shy nerds and the goth kids from Tennessee and Kentucky, for the rockers and the awkward and the fed up and the too smart kids and the bullied. We were a community, a generation, in Nirvana's case, several generations. And the echo chamber of that collective howl, and Allen Ginsberg would have been very proud here. That moment and that voice reverberated into music, and this is not just pop music. This is something much greater than that. They spoke truth, and a lot of people listened. They picked up the mantle in that particular battle, but they were singular and loud and melodic and deeply original. And that voice, Kurt, we miss you.
Posthumously, birthday wishes to Kurt Cobain, Nirvana frontman, co-founder, part of Rock and Roll's Unfortunate 27 Club. I am grateful for Nirvana and for Pearl Jam for giving it the old college try to keep the spirit of the rock and roll I grew up enjoying alive after a lost decade for many of us in the 80s. If you didn't get U2 or Bruce Springsteen was not your thing. Yes, there also was Van Halen and a few others. The Police were still going very strong. But Pearl Jam and Nirvana in the early 90s had that thing that so many of the great classic rock era bands had. And while I don't consider either of those bands to be top 20 material, I certainly enjoy their work. Nirvana's Nevermind album is a very important album to me. And when I make my 800-mile trek to Northwest Ontario every year, it gets a spin from start to finish. So happy birthday, Kurt Cobain.
That was Michael Stipe of REM that Tanny brought us back in at their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the 27 Club that you mentioned. Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, rockers who died all at the age of 27.
Yeah, Morrison, he wasn't going to make it to 28. If he did see, you
none
know,
of them.
Well, yeah, right. Well, there was nothing we were talking about Chris Farley last week. Jim Morris, Alice Cooper once told, name dropping, Alice Cooper told me it's a miracle Morrison made it to 27. Brian Jones, the co-founder of the Rolling Stones, also part of the 27 Club, as was and is Pete Ham of Badfinger. Who the hell is Pete
Ham?
Yeah,
I don't know that one.
Well, you know this one, though. You're very important to you because it's part of Breaking Bad. And when Breaking Bad concluded, Baby Blue.
Love that song.
Yeah.
Perfect song for a television episode.
It absolutely was. And a perfect reminder of the first time I had my heart broken in 1971 as it came out. Kathy Marje wanted nothing to do with me.
Yes, I got what I deserve.
What a lyric for a breakup, right?
Kept you waiting there too long, my love. All that time without a word. Didn't know you'd think that I'd forget. I'd regret.
Hit that crash for me, Parkins.
It was perfect.
Air drum it out for me.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to keep up with your rhythm on the air drums, Mac. But yeah, that was a perfect song in Breaking Bad. I did not know that was another member of the 27 Club.
Yeah, Janis Joplin, too. Texter's coming. I'm sorry, I forgot Janis. She's part of it.
Man.
Jimi Hendrix. You mentioned him.
Yeah, I mentioned Hendrix, Cobain, Morrison, and Winehouse.
Jimi Hendrix. Are you experienced? Today also is a birthday. This guy's still alive.
That's good.
A reminder, the best way to celebrate a birthday is to be there to have some oxygen in the lungs to blow out 77 candles if you're Phil Esposito, the NHL Hall of Famer.
Mm.
It's a reminder of one of the worst trades in Blackhawks history. The Hawks sent Phil Esposito in 1967 to the Bruins, along with Johnny Pieface McKenzie, and I think Fred Stanfield was in the deal, for Hubert Pitt Martin, who was a nice player. But Phil Esposito went to the Hall of Fame. He led the league in assists 5 consecutive years. Funny thing, on this day in 71, he became the first NHL player, fastest NHL player to hit 50 goals in a season. So he was a remarkable player. I would put that Blackhawks trade right up there with Brock Ferbrolio, Lou Brock, who goes on to the Cardinals and appears in 3 World Series. They won 2 of them. Ernie Broglio busted out. And I put Jay Cutler on the medal stand of bad Chicago sports trades.
What about, what was it, Roenick for Zamenhof and
Zamenhof
a first?
Zamenhof was a hack, but Roenick had to go.
Yeah, he's only 26 at the time.
Was he?
Yeah,
he was young when they moved him.
He was young when they I know there was the contract dispute with him, and there's the impasse, but he was young when they moved him.
That's not a sport where you can get away with baggery in the room. They don't want that, and Roenick had worn out his welcome with many of his teammates.
If we're doing bad Chicago sports trades, the one that gets referenced all the time that I'm personally conflicted with is Tyrus Thomas for LaMarcus Aldridge, because obviously it was a terrible trade, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a terrible read of power forwards in the same draft class. But LaMarcus Aldridge is just good enough to not win big. He's a really good player.
Just good enough to break your heart.
And then if they would have won a little bit more, would they have not even been in the lottery? And then would they not have gotten the 1.7% at Derrick Rose? So I've always played that what-if game with that trade. Now, obviously,
there you go.
So that's how you rationalize, but obviously a terrible misread on the talent. And then the other one that always gets referenced for bad Chicago sports trades that I think is a little bit more complicated than people make it is Greg Olsen. Because Greg Olsen, it was embarrassing that Mike Martz said that they didn't have a spot for him and that that tight end didn't fit in the system, and he goes on to have this great, you know, decade, basically, career after
something
that.
Something Hall of Fame consideration worthy.
They traded him for a third-round pick, and the third-round pick was Brandon Marshall. So they actually got a player who was super productive for the pick that they traded Greg Olsen for, but you had a third-round pick. You could have drafted Brandon Marshall and had Greg Olsen.
Yeah, that's very true. Greg Olsen and the Bears both were at fault, I think, for that divorce. Usually it's not an absolute. It takes two to get along. It takes two
Martz's
to not get along.
I thought Martz's comments were embarrassing.
Martz was embarrassing. Jerry Angelo said afterward he wanted to be Kellen Winslow. He wanted him to be Mike Ditka. He just did not want to line up next to the tackle. The trend in the league was for tight ends with good route running abilities and good hands. Good athletes were going to play the U tight end, and he wanted nothing to do with playing Y.
The game just changed so quickly after that, though, and then all of a sudden tight end numbers were blowing up with receptions, led partially by Greg Olsen, that I just always thought that that one was something that aged. It aged so poorly so quickly.
Yeah, you know, but Marshall, 2 of those 3 years here were spectacular. It was a 2-year stretch the Bears had never seen at the position, and Olsen, you know, while he's had a terrific career, has not haunted the Bears by going to a team where he's a part of championships, been to 1 Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't just judge it on whether he win a Super Bowl elsewhere. I mean, he was better after he was with the Bears.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think of the residual effects of what makes a trade bad, and I think the thing with that made it that starts this is, you know, Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio. Brock's, you know, Hall of Famer, base dealer, and the guy was out of the won championships, you know. Phil Esposito was in the cup final a handful of times. And that just makes that. And Gilles Marat, thank you, Texter, for or two who helped me with that. Gilles Marat, good old number 2, also came to the Hawks in that deal. But
Cubs have had some bad ones. They traded Chris Archer and prospects for Matt Garza and prospects. I think you'd rather have the young. They've tried to trade for Chris Archer back a number of times since. And then this one's more of a technicality, but you know, the Cubs traded the Rule 5 draft rights to Josh Hamilton. So they for like $100,000 or something, like really some sort of insignificant monetary amount, they actually could have had the rights to Josh Hamilton.
I would have liked to have gotten to know Josh Hamilton.
You would have had
him. You too?
Yeah,
we could have a few.
He's an interesting guy. I've heard some interviews with him. Like when he's reflective, he is a very interesting guy to talk to. The Cutler one is tough because at the time, it seemed like a home run for the Bears. A Pro Bowler in his early 20s, early mid-20s.
Air quotes on Pro Bowler, please.
I know, but it was...
fifth guy in that year.
I know, but it was still a guy who had accolades as a quarterback just for draft picks.
It gave Bears fans
over 4,000 yards.
Yes, March of 09, when that news breaks, Bears fans have hope. Oh, my goodness. Look what they're saying about this guy. The potential is enormous. And hell yeah, I'll trade 2 number 1 picks for this guy. Those 2 number 1 picks got you 1 playoff victory during Cutler's run here. They won 1 playoff game with Cutler, and I consider it a horrible trade.
I do too, and I was talking about, I remember filling in up the dial right after the extension for Cutler, and I was like, this is a terrible idea. I think it was my first time hosting in Chicago. I was like, you cannot extend this guy because you're locking yourself into a low ceiling. And I thought that extension was awful, but the logic behind the trade at the time,
mm-hmm.
I'll do that every time. Like if you think it's a 25-year-old franchise quarterback who's got nothing but 4,500-yard seasons in front of him, 2 first-round picks is a steal for that guy. If that's who you're getting.
Yeah.
It just wasn't who they were getting.
Yeah, it's on my medal stand, and I give you that he's the best quarterback in Bears history. I think if you deny that, you're not looking at the numbers. Hopefully Mitch Trubisky erases it. Yeah.
Sounds like a great conversation for Danny to bring up with Grobber tonight. Grobber has strong thoughts on Cutler as Bears QB.
Yeah, we need to fill your notebook.
I was going to get into it coming up before True Detective Tuesday, but yeah.
Cutler, P. McMahon, that's what 3 o'clock hour needs to be overnight tonight.
God, the 3 o'clock hour. I'm like, for our 3 o'clock hour. Then
No. 12 hours from now.
Yeah, you do point out that I will have another 3 o'clock hour in the a.m. That's great. After how this day has started. Yeah, that'll be lovely. All right, 3 a.m. We'll do Bears quarterback history talk. I'm excited. And he says that he told me on Sunday night, no one in Chicago is a bigger Michael Jordan fan than Les. That was his claim.
After hearing recent arguments, LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, I don't dispute. I would not even begin to contest that.
Okay.
I saw him. I was there courtside in 88.
I know.
I saw it.
That's it. Well,
I was at the Richfield Coliseum with a shot over Elo.
I can promise you the show tonight is going to turn into me interviewing Grobber. Like
you're full of crap too. You're all full of crap.
I'm going to try very hard to block against that, but that's what I think the show is going to end up being. And if people are wondering why that's happening, I lost Who Do You Love, so I've got to do double shift. I'll be doing today.
Dan Perkins.
That's right. Overnight with Les, and then I'll be on this show tomorrow.
Yeah, there are no winners in our show wagers. Only a loser. Only a guy who gets to run across the Michigan Avenue or walk across the Michigan Avenue Bridge wearing a Speedo-type item, and you hosting overnights with Les.
I still think that was a good move for Shep's career. I like where
of course you do.
I like where it shows up on the Google image search.
You
it's not
suck.
At the top.
Go to hell. Don't come back. We don't need you.
What Robert said.
Have you... have you deployed the blue shorts at home? Come on.
Oh, excellent
Come
question.
On.
No, I have not deployed the blue shorts at home.
Do you have them at home?
I got much better looking stuff at home.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, pictures, son. Bring it to Arizona. we're going to do a Schmitz
Saturday golf attire.
Yeah. Bad trades. Texters coming in with Sosa. To the Cubs for George Bell.
It's a popular
one. The Rick Meyer trade gets referenced. I haven't seen anybody with Garland for Kartschner.
I see it right
have
here.
You? Okay.
6-3-0 has it. And then a more modern one, Fernando Tatis Jr. to the Padres for James Shields.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly how good Tatis is going to be, but by all accounts, he's going to be awesome. And if you had him and Eloy, you'd have 2 of the top 4 prospects in the game.
I've seen on our text screen, and I saw this on Twitter earlier today, some people suggesting the Chris Sale deal to the Red Sox. I need more evidence. I'm not ready to call it a disaster yet. But I think it could be. I think there's a real chance they'll wind up regretting that, and it'll wind up being a bad trade. Chris Sale has gone on to have a terrific run with the world champs.
But everyone knew he was going to have a terrific run with a good team. The point was picking a lane, and you weren't going to win with Sale, so right. Getting as much for him as you could.
And Moncada has not given us a reason to believe he's going to be everything they thought he was going to be. Too few at-bats to write him off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Of course, it's my opinion. I'm the one speaking.
And yesterday, we didn't even mention it. It was so busy. The third guy in the Chris Sale trade, Luis Basabe, broke a bone in his left hand yesterday.
He
can't play baseball for like 3 months now. And that's my prospect, my hipster prospect crush.
That's your guy?
Yeah, Basabe. Yeah, he's like the best probably center fielder that they have in the system.
I know he was in the trade. I did not know that he was your hipster guy.
It's my hipster Sox prospect, and he broke his hand.
I know the name because it's how Joe Maddon signs off his pregame show. We got more of that coming this year, or has he got a new one? What's Joe's catchphrase this year?
You know, it's
I'm on the bubble. How do you say I'm on the bubble in Spanish?
It's something new every year. Texter says, Parkins, Grobber's a legend. Pay your respects. Shut your trap, and you may just learn something, punk. I am legitimately excited for 5 hours or less. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be exhausted. But he is a treasure trove of Chicago sports history.
Yeah.
I will learn something. I won't know if it's accurate.
My life.
But
that
was all time.
He's the only guy going who I can say and be truthful when I say it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I listened to him on the radio when I was in middle school, 7th, 8th grade. Les Grobstein was doing sports reports on WLS Music Radio 89.
So we got suggestions on things I should bring up with Les tonight before True Detective, and also some all-time audio in terms of just there's a lesson in this audio that we're going to play that we could all apply in our lives. It's coming up. McNeil and Park is on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.